step, Omega
why the
step,
organizations? Because this step. Whole the issue of the social structure of it. Why isn't it a practice to reach out to all Black people? You know, only certain people are approved to be a part of the organization. To me, that has been my challenge with it. And I mind you, I don't hate the Greeks. It's, you know, I don't know enough about them to have a hate. But to me, that part of it is like, why not reach out to everybody? We're all a community that's struggling. Everybody could use some sense of something to attach themselves to. And if there's a bit of history that you're giving us that we're not getting from our academic institution as undergrads, and you can provide that, why not have everybody reach out to a little bit of everybody?
Well, I think this is funny because Tash actually's criticism of own the separateness, I think they absolutely own it. If anything, that's like what you're addressing. Like, we have chants that literally touch on you have to, not everybody can be in our sorority, you know? I mean, we do deltas, every sorority, like, oh, you wish you could be us, you know? I mean, that's all, like, the attitude or whatever. And I think fraternity's the same thing. So to me, it's, like, of anything, a big celebration of, like, well, not everybody can be in this group, you know? Which, obviously, that's not a positive attribute whatsoever. And I think that, but for the people that are attracted to that, like, mm-hmm. that's a big, like, you don't want to be in the sorority that everybody can be in. Like, what's so special? You know what I mean? And I mean, it's sad to say that, but especially, like you said, being 18 to 22 in that age range. I mean, it's like fresh out of high school. It's the same like being the cheerleader, being the whatever. You know, I think it's just that desire to, like, be in the cooler group, and you kind of tell yourself that's what it is. And
can you give us a breakdown of the hierarchy of the groups?
Which ones are cooler and which ones?
Can't
that's
do that.
Personal opinion, but everybody who's in a sorority should think their sorority is the best. I mean, they should, you know, otherwise yeah. why be in it? Like, I mean, oh, cool. You shouldn't just settle. But there's a lot of people that just want to be Greek, like, that will join the one they know they can get into.
Right, right.
Because it's easy, you know, it's better than not being in a sorority. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll be in the one that will accept me, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm not trying to be snobby whatsoever, because when I was in school, I mean, it like, a white, like, Black schools are so much more hardcore, like, yeah. as far as the pro, because so many more girls want to be in the sorority. You know, we have a small amount of Black people, period, that want to be in the sorority. So if anything, we had a totally different attitude. So I mean, I don't know, I think that is celebrated. And if anything, I would say that's one of the negatives, is that exclusionary, like, you have to be this, that, or this. Now obviously it's luckily improved to where it wasn't a skin color thing, or it wasn't a socioeconomic thing at my school. There are still schools definitely where I think if you don't, you know, have obviously a certain look, but like even probably, you know, a certain status could get you in to maybe mm-hmm. a sorority because mm-hmm. your dad's this or whoever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, but I think that's the problem with any kind of exclusionary group per se. But I guess why I defend sororities and fraternities is because at least they do provide something, you know, like they're not just for the sake of being what they are. Like there's a goal, whether they meet it or not. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of community service, I can say, in undergrad. And I was one of the few that like did every single community service I could do. Mm-hmm. But I also did every party we could do. So it was like, you know, I just felt like if I'm going to do that, I should do the other.
Yeah. And I have to say, I think the history, touch on Tash's point, I don't think the history is a bad thing, because to create something that has lived and existed for so long, to me, that says something about the strength of the premise of the organization to begin with, because there's so many things that are started by people, our people specifically, that will start and fizzle. Yeah. And if this is something that has happened and has gone on for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, there's something to be
that's
said about
point.
That.
And you know what? And I agree completely. I would say just in my thinking about fraternities in general, regardless of Black or white, it's kind of a push towards us as people to create something of permanence in a context of something that's transient. Like people mm-hmm. are always coming in and leaving a university, mm-hmm. but to establish something that's permanent and remains, that you can remain connected to, you know, as a person when you leave, is like something I think as a human we've always kind of wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they try to promote and do things. I know specifically, I know one brother who's a doctor, who's a part of my chapter. You know, they went down, he and about seven other brothers went down to Haiti when it happened and tried to give some, you know, the aid and go out and help. And I know the fraternity spearheaded trying to get the Dr. King Memorial done in D.C. You know, but I mean, I see both sides. I mean, to your point, I partially did want to pledge as an undergrad, but I knew I wasn't ready, and I knew I did not want to do it just to be like, hey, I got the black and gold on. What? And I knew a lot of brothers did that. And I was like, you know what? Out of respect for the founders themselves and for my family who did it, I don't want to do it just for that. If I'm just going to do it for that, why? It has to mean something. If all it's going to mean is like, oh, I'm the big man on campus, then I don't care. I know there are some people out there who feel like, well, I need this in order to uplift myself. And I didn't need that. I didn't need that.
I would say
the initiation process that happens in undergrad.
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot to go. Through it. I pledged alumni, but I was totally involved all day, every day, whatever needed to be done. I was in it, and I somewhat appreciated that. I was like, I don't want to be this. Hey, show up. All right, you win. I'm like, no, I want to.
You want to experience the rites of passage.
Yeah, I want yeah. And I like, look. Treat me like like anybody else who's trying to come through. Don't give it to me.
Right.
You know.
And of course, I have to have his back because we were a couple at that time. And the amount of time that he was away doing stuff. If you think about the fact that you're talking about somebody who was working full time and then spending almost just the same amount of time doing things, learning the history and whatever else was going on while you was gone, we'd go 24-hour periods not seeing each other because he'd go from work straight to whatever was happening. So I think they, at least for his chapter of A5A, they definitely have tailored the process to give somebody who is a working adult as close to that undergraduate experience as possible, because they get into your life, just disrupt all kind of harmony and any idea of routine that you might have had set up. So,
yeah, and the one thing I will appreciate when I went through is the brothers who talked to me and expressed their opinion of the chapter were all the older brothers who were like 40s, 50s, accomplished, talked about what they went through and their appreciation of it. And I needed that. I wanted that. I didn't want to hear some 19-year-old talking about how much they love it. Like, okay, but you 19. Are you going to really be doing this, repping it, like, and actually doing some of this stuff of what it means, what it represents to be an alpha, or from any of the chapter you're in? Let me know somebody who's been in it 30-some years. Are they still active?
Let me ask you a question. You still pay dues?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been a member of your organization?
Spring 04. I do.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I know it's a lot who don't. I totally get it. I don't go to every meeting, and I've had to cut back. I've cut back since my son was born. But then, nobody's like, oh, why don't you come? It's like, all right, well, family comes before the frat. Okay, we get it.
And I think you have to look at the men and the women that these fraternities and sororities create. When I heard Chris say, your grandfather and father, is that what I'll take that any day. You can give me three generations of black men being productive and doing whatever group you got to join it up, So I'm good with that, because I remember you saying about reaching out. I'm okay if you're not if you don't reach out, but you're building up, I'm good.
Mm.
Because right now, who are we relying on to build up these young girls and these young boys?
That's true.
Who? So if they got to go through those age 18 to 22 and do whatever you have to do, because the average adult grows out of that, although we know some who haven't, the average adult grows out of that. And if they're getting it the right way and it's instilled in them, and at the end of the day, you have a Chris.
Yeah. Right.
It's all the doctrine. You see where they came from and what they preach. But it's the same thing when you go to church. Like, hey, these are things we founded on. Education, community service, just trying to be a leader in your community. This is what we preach. Now, do you practice it? That's up to the person. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Bible. It says doing to others like you want to do unto yourself. Mm-hmm. How many people do that? Mm-hmm. Who's like, I'm a Christian, but you will slam the next person that quick. It's just all in that particular person. And based if you meet individual. Enough people who don't reflect that, then you will get a negative sense who are just like, oh, I got my patch,
I actually think there's a this just, I never thought about this before, but I think there is a slight PR problem with sororities and fraternities. Like, they really don't publicize what they do a lot. I mean, I don't hear about it, but I know they do, you know, like, I know each chapter has projects that they work on, you know, and I would like to hear more about what they are doing out there, just because you only hear about the girl getting killed at the beach, or, you know, the fights at the party and, like, the gang, you know, comparison to gangs, which I hear, but...
I think if you start by paying your dues, you'll get a newsletter.
I feel bad talking since I'm, like, the total stereotype. But, and also I want to say, like, I do also sometimes think grad members honestly are, like, sometimes the best members. I mean, if you want to put it that way, because they usually join for, like, the absolute right reasons versus undergrad who join for... fun. Yeah. So sometimes they end up being, you know, the backbone of how the fraternities and sororities, like, are maintaining, really.
I have a question for frats and sorors at the table, and I've been hesitant to get in this conversation only because since I'm not a part of it, everything I have to say is from the outside in, so I can't really. What's up with the branding? I mean, that reminds me of slavery, personally.
Yo, I mean, what it comes down to is to be, you know, to be really real about it, it's just a lot of handing down of traditions and a lot of what you go through in your particular rite of passage for whatever your organization is. Like, if you want something that bad, you're going to deconstruct yourself to where they impress values upon you. And if they tell you branding is important, then it's going to be important. You know what I mean? Like, that's just going to be part of the, because what happens in from my experience of any process, you get broken down and you get built up in the image of whatever it is that you're pledging your allegiance to. So that's, if branding is part of that organization's programming, then that's something that you're going to feel is valuable. And, right. and you're going to be like, you know, you're going to hold it aloft to the point where you're going to think, you know, forget what these other people who don't know think. Like, no, the real is this, and I want a brand.
But can the real contradict a history of?
Absolutely, it can, because that's meta programming. That's brainwashing in a sense. That's what it is. It's like it erases the values of what you came with before as you. You get broken down to that point where, like, and you would hope that you get built back up in into something that's responsible or something that's mature. It doesn't always go that way. It's not the way it is. The way it is, like I said, so much has been lost in what these things are supposed to mean that you can just end up in something stupid. You can end up doing some stupid stuff. You really could.
And also, one more question. Why a Greek symbol?
I have that question, too.
For African people.
Well, and that... as far as I know, it's just because that's the kind of organization that you can make at a time. You couldn't just make a black student organization and call it that. You can make a fraternity because that's what existed. Phi Beta Kappa or something already existed in other, you know, other groups that existed, and you could make an organization under those same auspices and not be held to the kind of standards and scrutiny that you would if you just called yourself a black brotherhood organization in 1906, 08, 1911, 1913. You know what I mean? So, and the organization that I pledged, like I said, there was some stuff under that was African. And then we were taught why these other things were added on top. But that's not the stuff that you get to share necessarily.
But also, I mean, if we're being real, white fraternities existed, obviously, at the time. Like, pretty much all of them were founded way before 1906. So it's a black version to some extent. You know, I mean, we weren't allowed in the white fraternity, so we make our own. So, I mean, that would make sense why you would use Greek letters. But also, I mean, like, for, you know, I'll use my organization because we have that stereotype of, like, the quote-unquote paper bag test. I doubt they were, like, going to look for, like, African, like, you know, I just think that wouldn't really have been in the mentality. Like, we're trying to form our own thing because we're not allowed in that one, but not necessarily, like, it's still a sorority, and I don't know, like, I guess I don't know. I can't speak for the founders, obviously, but I wouldn't have imagined that would have been, like, their first goal was, like, creating something African orientated, which, as bad as that sounds, but
well, in summation, does anybody have anything they want to say?
I want to say I'm not going to pay any more dues for real, and I think And the reason that I'm not is because I think that the reason these organizations were started were reasons that they can't be efficient today. Like they're an old weapon, they're an old strategy, and we're in new wars, we're in new times. And I think the same way about the NAACP. I think the same thing about the Urban League. I think the same thing about a lot of organizations. Like, yes, in their history, in their origins, they were started for very great reasons, and they were very powerful at the time. But when it comes to the problems that we deal with in 2011 and beyond, it's not necessarily an organization that's going to give you what you need. It's going to arm you. You know, it's more about what we're doing kind of right now. Like, this is a think tank almost right now. Like, we're talking, we're breaking down ideas and broadcasting them. Like, this is the kind of thing that's more valuable than an organization with a name and dues and initiations and rites of passage. Like, I don't think that's what we need today. And I think that a lot of these organizations want to position themselves to be like, okay, yeah, we're doing this and this and that and that. But the reason, like you said, there's a PR problem. I don't think it's a PR problem. I think it's a results problem. Like, the projects only addressed 0.5% of the problem. So you don't hear about them because they're not doing anything. Like, they're mentoring, they're tutoring, they're talking to children. They're doing things that are properly intentioned. But the scope and the results are kind of beyond what the structure of the organization has. Mm-hmm. And I want to support and develop things that are
Mike,
able to address our
I think
our
you need to go
problems.
To a good party that your fraternity.
I've thrown some good parties in my fraternity.
No, but now.
Not to live in a glass house and throw stones. If everybody paid their dues, they probably could do more, you know? And so by not paying your dues, you're contributing to them not being able to do as much, which I am too. So, I mean, I'm
They would take the money and do what they've been doing more, which is not enough.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and good night. Make sure you join us for the next Black Is 10-Minute Break.
SG Roll step, Zeta step, gangsters rock, pimps gon' talk. Ooh.